You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yep, in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, a couple of news and notes items when it comes to the Texans. We were telling you earlier that Kayvon Wallace is returned on the practice squad. Another bit of safety news, Jonathan Alexander reporting that rookie safety Jalen Reed is expected to be designated to return to practice today. So that would be another safety option, and there's definitely a conversation to be had about, you know, how you handle that going into the game, but it's better to have options than to not have any.
Yes, it is.
As well as Jawar Jordan, at least according to Aaron Wilson of KPRC2, suffered a high ankle sprain in week 18 and on an apparent hip drop tackle. We've talked a little bit about that. Recovery time is undetermined, and so that puts in question what you have.
Unlikely if that's the
running
case.
Back too. I would imagine so, but we'll let it play out over the course of the week. As we head towards a Monday night wild card matchup with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and joining us to talk about that as we head behind enemy lines is Nick Faribault. He covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. Nick, thanks for joining us. I keep wanting to call it the Patriot News because I am a newspaper guy, and my co-host actually has worked with a number of newspapers. Does anybody do that, or is it just PennLive?
No. We still call it the Patriot News. It's the PennLive/Patriot News because we do still actually have a physical copy, which is actually rare nowadays.
Yeah, I saw what happened with the Post-Gazette.
Yeah, man, that sucked, and I know so many people there that are really good, and that's like a huge bastion for Pittsburgh. I mean, it's the biggest masthead in the entire city, so that's going to be a dredge for local journalism, but in Harrisburg, you can indeed still get the Patriot News.
Very good.
Right physical, too.
Excellent. Love hearing that. So we're talking to Nick. We're talking about this game, and we were listening to Mike Tomlin, some of his availability from earlier in the week, and he seemed very, very congratulatory and obviously spoke highly of this defense that the Texans have, obviously, but also the secondary in particular. And we were hypothesizing that should we expect to see a lot of running the football? What are you guys looking at for the possibility of how the Steelers offensively go about attacking this defense?
Yeah, I mean, they do like to run the football to take some pressure off Aaron Rodgers at this stage in his career, but Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers, and if you know a little bit about Aaron Rodgers, he's going to check out of a lot of run plays anyways. So they're going to throw the ball more than enough. I'm not sure they're going to throw 47 times like they did against Baltimore, but I do think they're going to still see a heavy dose of the passing game. But I think that they kind of look at this game, and when they've gone against teams similar to the Texans, which is, you know, strong defense or at least a game where they thought physicality in the trenches was going to be a really big deciding factor, they do come out and start running the ball. And oftentimes, the Steelers aren't really a team that comes out hot on the ground. They're kind of a team that wears you down. They just kind of put the bulldozer straight to the A and the B gap. They run that outside zone later as the game goes on. And they try and wear down teams in the trenches. I can think of that happened to Baltimore last week. It's happened to Detroit when they just started really ripping off explosives in Detroit a few weeks ago. It has happened multiple times to where that run game has wore down teams. And so I think we're going to see a heavy dose of the run game. I think we're going to see a heavy dose of play action. I think they're going to try and take as much pressure off Aaron Rodgers and the offensive line and all of those factors as they can, try and get easy button stuff. But I don't know how easy it's going to be because, you know the Texans' defense is very good. And so they're going to try and wear them down in the trenches. The Steelers have done it multiple times this year, but I think this is going to be their greatest test to doing that.
Well, and how does DK Metcalf come into play with all that? Not just, you know, the run game and having the play action option, but just being on the field.
Yeah, he's a big factor. He gives the Steelers a lot of options to what they can do outside of him, just because he usually does get two people on him. Now, the Texans are a different story. Maybe they just put Stingley on him. That's possible. But what the Steelers have faced a lot with DK Metcalf in the lineup is a lot of bracket coverage. And it has opened up things for others like Kenneth Gainwell and Jaylen Warren. They'll get one-on-one chances in the open field, so you get some yak there. You've also seen some other guys like Adam Thielen and Calvin Austin III step up in some opportunities. That hasn't been great, though. This wide receiver room is not very good outside of DK. I will say DK also helps the run game a lot. He's kind of their big hulking body. He gives them a lot of effort in the run game. And he also, just like I said, draws two people. So it lightens the box. It gives the Steelers numbers advantage in the run game. And so he's just kind of a math problem to a degree. And then if you leave him one-on-one, Aaron's going to take the shot down the sideline. So, you know, if I were Derek Stingley, be on high alert. I'm sure that the Texans are going to trust Derek Stingley to go one-on-one with him a number of times. But the Steelers will take that in an effort to get explosive plays. And then the other thing they do with him is they get him on crosses a lot, try to get him free for Yak, because that has been something they've unlocked in his game this year that maybe Seattle didn't do enough of, is that he has gotten catches in space. And when he gets in space, he's a tough man to bring down. He's a big dude. So that's how they use DK. And that's something to think about when he's back now. He will have magnetism that the Texans will have to plan around to make sure no one else takes advantage of it.
We're talking to Nick Faribault here as we go behind enemy lines in loop on Sports Radio 610. I'm intrigued by the shot plays that the Steelers are inevitably going to take in some ways. In your estimation, because, you know, listening to Tomlin talk, I almost feel like he has such a great respect for what you're dealing with this defense that I could expect max protect opportunities to go deep. Could you expect it like that? What would shot plays look like in your estimation in this game?
Yeah, the Steelers' shot plays are kind of interesting. A lot of them are just Aaron Rodgers drawing them up in the dirt, kind of like the hitch and go they got against the Ravens last week. He drew that up in the dirt, told Calvin Austin the huddle to run a hitch and go, and it was a touchdown. But when they go max protect, you'll see a lot of different things. You'll see double crossers. You'll see a post crosser combo. You'll see a bunch of different things. You'll see, you know, deep out routes that are essentially 25 yards. You'll see dagger. You'll see a bunch of different things that they run to try and get these guys free. And the one thing the Steelers wide receiver room does have a lot of is speed. They aren't a great well-rounded room, but between DK, Calvin Austin, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Scotty Miller, those guys can run. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what it does is they'll run the shot play to maybe open up something underneath. So they'll run max protect, right? But then they'll leak the running back out of the backfield and Rodgers will hit Warren or Gainwell for 15 yards underneath. That has happened before. And so the Steelers haven't run a bunch of max protect stuff, and without Darnell Washington in the lineup, I think that really changes the math of how they get to their deep passing game, because he is just such a force in terms of pass pro and what he brings to the table. But I do think when you talk about shot plays, you're talking probably a lot about those crossers, the post routes that they're going to try and take. When they have face teams that have had, you know, safety questions, and certainly I think the Texans, that's like maybe one of the only questions you've had this week is who's it going to be? That is something that they have tried to at least exploit and make those guys prove it. So that's my guess on how it would look.
Nick, I want to ask you kind of a big picture question, because we all know that radio callers and social media posters always represent the reality in this world. But big picture, were Steelers fans, do you feel happy that the Steelers got into the playoffs?
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know, I think there's a section of that fan base, just like there was a section of the Ravens fan base that wanted them to lose because they thought change would come. Obviously, for the Ravens, that did happen. For the Steelers, though, I think they were in a weird spot, because this season has probably been one of the more encouraging seasons in recent memory. Even though they're at the same spot they've been the last 2 years, the amount of young guys that have built up a cachet this year that have just kind of broken out has been very encouraging. And so I think there's enough people in that fan base that say, hey, you know, you want to win the AFC North, you want to make it to the dance, especially because the AFC is just not nearly as good this year as it's been. Mm-hmm. And so it didn't matter if you drew Houston, Buffalo, Jacksonville, or Los Angeles. It feels like those teams, compared to some of these teams the Steelers have faced in the last few years where they just get run off the football field, aren't nearly as good as those teams were. So I think that in that regard, yes, I think there's a feeling in the fan base that they wanted the Steelers to get in. I don't think there's a feeling in the fan base that is satisfied with Mike Tomlin, but I don't think that has to come at the expense of making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Tomlin, we could talk about this for a while. What are you hearing as the main complaints? Because like from the outside looking in, it's easy to just keep looking at the record, hearing him speak in a way that is calm, comfortable, and authoritative. What is it that people are most upset about?
I mean, the Steelers are just a team that's consistently not super well coached. They struggle to get a lot of things that other staffs do really well correct. Now, they've done a few things this year that has changed the Rolodex on Mike. Mike's really evolved schematically this year defensively. I think that's been a new kind of thing that for him. So that's something that is promising. But, you know, what they do offensively at times, despite the stats honestly looking better than you would think with the personnel, they don't use Pat Freiermuth a lot, which I think is a frustrating point. You know, it's the same thing on defense. They don't maximize some of the players that they have. They don't maximize Nick Herbig, who is a really good third edge rusher and could start for probably any other team in the league. And then you kind of look at just some of the personnel decisions, some of the schematic decisions, some of how they put players into positions. It's not always great. And I think, you know, there's always this thought of you can always end up with more. I think Mike Tomlin's a great floor raiser. I think he's the best floor raiser in the game. I think it's an argument of ceiling. And so I think the real question with Mike Tomlin right now is, you know, he's a big, strong culture builder. You know, he's going to give you a high floor. You're going to be competitive every year. But are you going to hoist that Lombardi? And I think nowadays there's a question in the Steelers organization. There's a question certainly in the city of Pittsburgh between how he kind of coaches games, between some of his coaching hires. I don't think his coordinator hires have been very sterling over the past decade. And so all of that comes together, and it kind of has capped the ceiling for Mike Tomlin at this wild card round. You lose and you're out. And now the Steelers need to find new cutting edge stuff. So Mike Tomlin has to evolve. He has to find some new spots. This year he started to do that, but those are some of the main complaints with Mike Tomlin. And if you watch it week to week, you definitely would understand kind of those weak points and how it caps the ceiling that the Steelers have right now.
And we've talked about it this week, Nick. I've just been fascinated about which Aaron Rodgers is going to show up on Sunday. He's still Aaron Rodgers, but he's not quite the same Aaron Rodgers, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, just physically, et cetera. But is this one where, you know, caution to the wind and he, you know, you talked about him calling a play, drawing up a play in the dirt. Is this one where it's really just about Aaron Rodgers?
You know, to a degree it is. The one thing about Aaron is his arm is still there, and you'll see a few throws a game where he just, it's like you're watching MVP Rodgers, you know what I mean? It's like the throw to Adam Thielen on the seam ball against the Ravens, that's a throw he's made for 20 years, you know? And he'll pull it out sometimes. The thing with Aaron, though, is he doesn't want to get hit. And I know no quarterback wants to get hit, but he has a real affinity to not getting hit. And it destroys his game when he gets caught in his own head. We saw that against the Browns. I think he was too worried about Myles Garrett. And then you kind of see it against other teams. His three worst games this year were Los Angeles, Buffalo, and Cleveland. And all of those games, he was under duress. He was under pressure. And it got to his head. And the Steelers' pass pro has not really been bad. This offensive line has been really good. Even when he has to hold onto the ball, they give him time. He just doesn't want to get hit at all. And he'll duck his head. He'll miss reads. He'll take low-percentage fade balls instead of letting concepts breathe. That's what happened in Cleveland. The Steelers drew up a bunch of concepts to beat the Browns man coverage, and he would just take the fade ball instead of letting the concept breathe. That would cause him to run into sacks, throw the ball away. It hasn't really led to turnovers, but what it does lead to is a bunch of three and outs and punts. And so that's really the thing with Aaron Rodgers when he struggles. When he is on, though, he's comfortable in the pocket. He's got full command of the offense. And when you look at some of the best games of his year against the Ravens, against the Jets, games like that where he just sliced and diced them all game, he was super comfortable in the pocket and he was in command. And so that's what they need from him in this game. He needs to come in knowing, you know, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, and this Texans defense are going to hit him, but it's really going to be up to him how he's going to feel. Is he going to get jittery, or is he going to be confident standing there and take some hits?
Yeah, I can tell you how I would feel in that moment.
That's right.
We're talking to Nick Faribault of Penn Live and the Patriot News in Pennsylvania here on In the Loop. I'm sure, or maybe you haven't. I don't know if you guys have heard the same thing that we've heard all week long, which is about the Steelers' sterling record at home on Monday nights. And I just don't understand what would be in that, because I try not to lean into the mysticism. And so I'm trying to figure this out. What's your best guess as to why that would be the case, besides, you know, just Acrisure Stadium having some level of pixie dust on it?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, some of it has been they don't play good teams on Monday Night Football, at least in recent memory. I could think they played the Jets last year. They played the Dolphins this year. They won the year they played the Browns. Like, they've not played good teams in Monday Night Football settings. But that streak isn't just a Mike Tomlin streak. That's all the way back to Bill Cowher. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of part – I think the Steelers had some really good teams this year. You think Killer Bees, you think the 2000s Super Bowl teams. Even in the 90s, they didn't have a quarterback, but they had some good teams. So I think some of it's opponent-related. Some of it is the fact that they've just had some good teams. But I also think, you know, the extra – with Mike Tomlin specifically, on Monday nights, it feels like the extra day. I don't know what it is about it. It allows them to have this robust, fleshed-out prep, and they come out with, you know, some of the best game plans on Monday Night Football. I can remember some of these games where you just see new stuff the Steelers throw at the wall on Monday nights. It's like the extra day allows them some time to self-scout, and they'll break off tendencies. So I think in terms of coaching, that's part of it. But I do think this is somewhat of a streak of happenstance between, you know, good teams playing bad teams. And then with Tomlin, they pull out some of their best game plans on Monday night. So credit to them for that.
Appreciate you. Oh, one more thing, because I've been thinking about this. How would you evaluate the secondary? Because I've looked at Jalen Ramsey as a microcosm of that, and it feels like the first half was fantastic for him, and the second half he's showing his age. Is that an accurate description of him and maybe even the secondary as a whole for the Steelers team right now?
The Steelers secondary is the story of the season. First half of the year, they were awful, really outside of Ramsey. Porter was hurt. They struggled without Deshaun Elliott. Now, Deshaun Elliott's still out with an injury, but they've kind of cobbled together what has been a makeshift secondary that has actually risen the floor of this defense. You know, James Pierre's played well. Brandon Echols has been a godsend in the slot. Kyle Duggar's had some good games. But the concern of the secondary now, as you mentioned, is the safeties. You know, Jalen Ramsey, I think you can tell, is painstakingly still trying to learn safety. They busted three coverages at safety last week between Duggar and him. Duggar got benched for Chuck Clark, so who knows who's even going to start at safety this week next to Jalen Ramsey. So really, the corners have actually played way better in the second half of the year with Pierre and Echols now in an Asante Samuel Jr. there. Porter has kind of taken a leap as well. He's become a guy that doesn't get called for that many flags. Like, Pat Surtain has more flags this year than Joey Porter Jr. He's kind of taken a leap. But the safety play, you don't know. You know, you don't know what you're going to get each week. Some weeks, Duggar and Ramsey are playing really well, and others, they are the bane of the Steelers' defense existence. So this Steelers' defense has been interesting. They will have stretches where they are utterly dominant and shut teams out, and then they will have stretches, usually late in games, where they allow teams to come back in and move the ball at will. So it's been a really interesting defense to watch. But the safety play is probably the biggest concern on the team, period, right now.
His name is Nick Faribault, covers the Steelers for Penn Live out there in Pennsylvania. We really appreciate your insight, man.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
There he goes. Very, very intriguing to get a little bit of it. Yeah, 100%. I feel like I have a better idea. And as somebody who spent a number of hours last night starting on the project of why is this Monday night streak the way that it is, he hit on the big things that I was leaning into. I just wanted to feel like I needed to dig deeper. But yeah, they actually haven't played a lot of very good teams on Monday. That won't be the case for them this Monday when they face off against the Houston Texans for a wild card matchup that you'll be able to hear here on Sports Radio 610. All right, you're in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we do our lunchtime confessions.